What's the date? 16th? What's the date today? The 16th?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll...
No, day Tuesday or Monday? Monday, ain't
it? Tuesday.
Tuesday? Well, that's the... Sunday was the 14th, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. 14th,
15th, 16th. So today's September 16th?
It must be.
And this is Fred Roberts and Dee Kinslow here, and we're at Fred Roberts' house in Callan. Now, what do we want to talk about? Fred, could you start off by seeing if you can name, see how far back you can name in your family? Like, name your parents' names, and then your grandparents' names. Well, who are your parents to start off with?
Maston Roberts. Maston. And Lucy Cobb Roberts. Mm-hmm. That was my mother and dad.
And
my granddad was Plights. Let's see now. I get it. Just be Plights. I like it. Plight. Cobb.
And
that was my mother's.
Yeah.
And dad's. Father, you know, I just can't think of this. Can't think of it. That's my worst trouble. I can't think of anything like that. Now, after a while, it'll come to me as clear as you please.
I believe I've heard of
it. Huh?
It wasn't Jess, was it?
No. Jess was one of Dad's brothers.
And do you know where your dad was born?
He was born, I think, in Kentucky.
In Kentucky?
Kentucky.
Any idea where?
No, I wouldn't have no idea. They come from that part down there. Dad did.
Do you have any idea at all? Did they ever talk about what brought him into this part of the country?
No, I don't really ever hear him say whatever brought him into this part.
And how about your mother's people, the Cobbs? Do you know where they came from?
They come from anyhow, Granddad was crippled in the war, and they come from down in the lower country, but I don't know just which country. You come to the wrong person to find out all that out. I can't remember.
That's all right. That's
Arlene, she could tell us more about
what
that.
This was Plain Cobb. Yeah. He was in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. He was wounded in the Civil War.
Was he on which side was he? You know?
I don't even know that. I've got the papers, Your Honor, for Arlene has.
Uh-huh.
I just can't remember it.
Did you ever know him?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a wound did he get, do you know?
Well, it was in his hip. I know he went with his leg, had to go with his leg, turned out, went that way all the time.
Huh.
Yeah, he lived down there where Roy Boggs is now. The old home there, mm-hmm. just across the creek from where Roy lives there. Mm-hmm. He would sit on the porch there. I know they'd all get so worried that when everybody went by, he'd always holler for him to come in to eat dinner.
how old a man was he when he passed away?
Oh, he was up in his 80s. I don't know just what. but he was bound to be in his 80s.
So that'd probably be, around in the 20s when he died?
Well, let me study a little bit.
Yeah.
I know I went to Uncle Tom Davis's on Scars. Uncle Tom Davis run the mines on Scars for one of the boys that lived over, was working the mines over there. And I was about 13 years old. And I'm 82 past now. So how long back would that be, Dee?
You was about 12 or 13 then?
Mm-hmm. At about 13, I walked down.
1910.
Dad lived down where Bill lives, and I walked down to Skiles and up to the mines on Skiles and got him.
Must have been about one of the way.
Now, let's see. What years did your family live on Skiles, Fred?
Well, we moved from Skiles over there. I was 14 years old when we moved from Skiles.
And who else? When you were a kid living on Skiles, who else lived on Skiles?
Well, when we lived over there, it was Riddles.
Riddles?
Riddles. Mm-hmm.
They lived below you?
Yeah, they uh-huh. lived across the creek there.
Uh-huh.
And then one of their sons lived right just below them down there, where the other house was on the other side of the creek. Uh-huh. That was Jim.
Yeah?
Jim Riddle.
Is that this same bunch of Riddles live down there now?
Yeah, I think.
Hmm?
Is that the same bunch of Riddles that live down there now? Is that the same family?
On Scott's?
Yeah, is that the same bunch that lives up there above us, Riddles?
No, not the same. Not they. Well, they're all relatives, but
yeah,
but they're not the children, I don't think. Mm-mm.
How about did anybody live above you? Was there Holbrooks?
Joe Holbrooks lived up in the head of the Jones Fork or the May Fork or not. Jones Fork. I'm like, no.
Holbrook Fork,
yeah. He lived up there. And I can't remember but two houses being up there, and Ruth Silman lived in one of them. He lived below Mr. Holbrook's up there.
Ruth
Silman. He married one of mother's youngest sisters.
Huh. Anybody live up May Fork?
I never can remember anybody at Mayfork. Roldy Hinkle had a little shanty up in the Jones Fork.
Yeah.
he had a little shanty up there. I expect Dee's been to him lots of times.
Is that the place where it's still on Cook Stove there?
Yeah.
Of course, you take up there in the head of the Jones Fork where the hired Rodeballs lived up there right up at the head. You know where that's where the road goes around up there. Holler, house down over the hill in the holler there.
Uh-huh. That was a Rodeball house.
Huh?
How many, let's see, there must have been several people lived on Thomas Mountain, right?
Well, there was some Gads, or, let's see, let me, Wilsons, Rodeballs. I can't remember that other fellow's name. He used to come down to our place, the children did, and we was just young to play up there. I know they came down there one time, and one of them got bit with a copperhead in the place of going home to get a doctor. He just tied a string around his leg and played right on. Didn't bother him a bit.
Dee and I were talking yesterday about copperheads. And this fellow told me one time that when copperheads... Anyway, he said he saw this. He said he saw a little baby copperhead run right into the mother's mouth to get away, or to hide or something.
Have you ever heard? That's the way they do.
Yeah,
you've heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, I've seen them kill, and the little ones, when they mash them up, come out.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I've seen that one time. I was telling you yesterday. Yeah. I seen it once. I think rattlesnakes and copperheads is the only ones that do it too.
Well, now I never knew the rattlesnakes, but now the copperheads will really do it. But I don't know about the rattlesnakes. They may do it too.
Well, that's what I've always heard. Just rattlesnakes and copperheads. Black snake, they don't do it, or garter snake. No. I didn't get it halfway right. I was trying to tell Jerry yesterday. I wanted you to tell him about it. About when y'all was working in Logwoods and you kind of snuck Glenn in on that rattlesnake there.
That was over on that
day. Yeah.
Yeah, me and my brother Neil and Glenn, we were cutting logs on Antony over there, and we'd cut a road up to the top of the hill, and then, you know, we have to drop back off to the main holler to start another road. And we'd drop back off the hill there to start the other road. Me and Neil was doing the sawing, and Glenn was bumping after cleaning the brush out of the roads. And we come back down, right, got right at the forks of the road. There was no big hickory standing there. And so when we got off of the hill, I just went in to put a notch in it so we could cut it down. And I don't know, I chopped it a third of the way down. I expected it to land pretty heavy. And so Glenn, he was coming down off of the hill. And just before he came down off of the hill, I just happened to look down, and this rattlesnake was just laying right by the side of my foot. It wasn't that far from my foot, laying there. And it, so when I saw him, I just jumped back out of the way. And so Neil said, now wait till Glenn comes down. So we waited till Glenn came down. So Neil said to him, he said, Glenn, go in there and chop a while on that. He said, that tree leans heavy. And he said, Fred's chopped it about a third of the way down now. And so Glenn, he just started walking in, and he walked up pretty close to it, and Neil said to him, he said, you better look down there at your feet before you go in. Now he had laid. And you know, we catch that thing, and Glenn took a shoestring. He took part of the string out of his shoe, a leather string, and we made a doll and put around its neck. It's the funniest colored rattlesnake I believe I ever saw. And we took it over into the pole road, went down the other side of the holler, and we tied that thing up over that pole road and was going to take it into the camp at noon with him, went in for lunch. He wanted to see the people. And so we started to work over there, and that thing had got mad over there, and I'm telling you, it strike over there seemed like it'd jar the whole ground. Finally, Neil made us go over and kill it. He said it's going to get away. And so we went over and killed it, but Glenn dug it into the camp for the fellas to see. I never seen a rattlesnake that color.
Huh.
But now it was just as gentle as it could be till we tied him up. And right above your house one time, me and Dad, when we lived over there, well, Dad always kept a bunch of hogs around. And then we had a lot of chestnut mast then. And me and him he's going to take the hogs up in the holler there to some of the chestnut mast. And I was just a little old todger then, I suppose, about maybe 7 or 8 years old. And we get up there to that little old holler right above your place. That goes back over next to where the mines was. That's the way we always traveled when we went to Uncle Tom's, over to the mines that way. Short distance over to where he lived over there. And so the hogs kind of scattered out there. And so Dad told me to run around them there and bring them back off into the holler. He wanted to take them up there. He wanted to get them across on the creek where that flat was, mm-hmm. which I was telling you about over there. There's quite a lot of chestnut growed in there. And I was coming running off of the hill, and I jumped on two rattlesnakes. I was barefooted. I've told Dee about that, and when my foot hit them, I was telling you, it just like jumping, stepping on a piece of ice. but they didn't get a chance to bite me. I got away from them before they could get that done. Then my sister was coming from Erbakan one time, and they always come up Missouri Run over there and come up next to the head of May Fork there and come down by that old, we always called it the old West Place up there. There's down that left-hand holler and down to the house where we lived there. That's the way we always come from Erbakan, that is, any of them coming in from, she had been working, I think, at Webster Springs at the hotel up there and was coming home, and she was coming that way, and away up May Fork there, there was a powerful old big rattlesnake struck at her up there, and it went, when it struck at her, it was above the, up on the bank like, and it struck at her, missed her, and went right in front of her by. And of course, that scared her to death, and some of the boys went back, and they found it when they went back and killed it.
Huh. How's that going?
Then I've heard him tell about, oh, fella used to live on that, you know me. Think of his name. He was a huckleberry picking one time over there on Atney, and he got bit by a rattlesnake, and he come on in home, and he sent the boys back, and when they went back, they found the rattlesnake, and the rattlesnake was dead when they went back, and he said he never killed the rattlesnake. But it had bit him.
He poisoned him.
He'd find the rattlesnake. I reckon. The rattlesnake was dead when the boys were back. That was, his name was, well now one of the boys was Sherman George. He used to be around here once in a while. He lived down about Clarksburg.
There was an old house up Antony there that I did some work on one time, and it, over the fireplace that had carved in there George.
Well, was that there? Was that where Roy Frame used to live?
I don't know. This was about 5 years ago, and the house since burnt down. It was a big old white frame house.
Was it about the last house up there?
Yeah, up on that farm.
That's where Roy Frame lived.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
George is, what was his last name? Oh, that was his, that was his last name, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So now you know where the name was.
Roy Frame lived up there. Now, those Georges I was talking about lived just down below there a little ways, crossed over the mouth of a little holler, went up there. And they lived down there. Then on down Antony there, there was Addie Dodrell lived down there. He was a, I can remember him when I used to work over there in the woods from Albert and them. He had one eye out, Addie did.
Did you have an uncle lived up Poplar? Was that?
Yeah. There? Yeah, Uncle John, he lived over on Poplar.
Mm-hmm. Who lived back on Poplar then, way back?
Well, Jim Riddle lived. He lived on Poplar a while over there, right above Uncle John over there, and my granddad Roberts lived on Poplar once. Down, do you know where Jess and Emmett was living down there? You know that rock that was cut out in the spring down there?
Yeah.
They tell me Uncle Jess cut that spring out in that rock down there, one of Granddad's boys.
You ever seen that, Jerry?
Uh-huh.
Thank you, sir.
They tell me he cut it out. I remember he...
Uncle never goes dry.
No, I don't suppose to ever. They claimed it was good water. Well, I've drunk
it. Yeah, I drank it. It's good water.
And he cut it out of a rock, they said.
That's, what is it, about a mile and a half up Pauper?
I've been to that place there.
Where Jess lived?
Yeah.
When I, the spring's about right there.
Yeah, I know.
It's right beside the road. Just looks like you cast a place cement and run. No, it, but it's poured there.
They've been different. Mr. Riddle moved over there. He lived over there quite a while before he moved down to up on the mountain from Birch down there, the one that used to live on Skiles over there.
How about, there was a fellow I've heard lots of tales about, Jake Holmes. Did he live on Skiles when you were there?
He lived over there where Jim Ritter, he bought that place over there. Jake Holmes did. I don't know where he bought it off of, where he bought it off of Jim or who owned it when he got it, but he got it there. Jake didn't live there a long time.
People told me he made a lot of baskets and stuff.
Yeah, Yeah, he made baskets. Went around and sold them.
Yeah.
Now he married a, I believe he married a sister Jake did to Charles Hollingsworth. As well as I remember. Of course, you'd never seen Charles. He'd passed away before you'd ever. That was Ellie's husband.
Mm-hmm.
Lived down there on Birch.
Well, you can remember right there around Boggs, right there where we live, you remember a pretty good settlement right there, can't you? I mean, quite a few people living right around that area.
There where we're at?
Mm-hmm.
No, not too many, Dee. Now, there was McCoy's down where Buck lives. Well, on down, Mr. Barnett lived on down across the creek. Over in the mouth, that holler down there.
I don't know where it is.
Then Dennis Barnett lived down there. And I guess when we first come to that part, it must have been down Lucy Hoover when she lived down there. Where,
Byrne?
Othie lived. She lived there. Mr. Mollifin, he had the store down there at Skiles. And Herb Case lived there in that bottom down there below where, or right above Byrne. They moved after they got a big flood there once, and then they moved across and up in the holler there where they logged down out of that little holler there where the geese under got your wood.
Yeah.
They built over there and moved up there then. And then there was...
Seems to me like I can remember that old house sitting there.
Hmm?
Seems like I can remember that old house sitting there.
Did you know the Whalings?
Who?
Whalings.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them. Brandy married my sister.
Oh, yeah. I met a woman down around Clay. What's her name? Hazel. Her name is... her name is Stover now. She told me she was born up at Skiles. I said, oh, I know.
Well, what did she run a restaurant or something down there? Or do you
Where's
know?
Where's that, in Clay?
Down in Clay.
No. No, she lives up on the mountain, outside.
Oh, well, that's Brandy's brother, one of them, lived up there, down in Clay, up on the mountain there. Mm-hmm. And I think one of his girls lived up there too, and then I think there was one of them had a restaurant or something down in Clay down there.
Huh. Well, maybe it could be, you know, before. Mm-hmm. Her name was Hazel.
And I don't know where his brother, his brother passed away. The last account I ever had, though, his wife was still living down there, and she lives up on out of Clay there. They live on a farm back on top of the ridge there somewhere. I never was there.
That sure sounds like her.
Huh?
That sounds like the one.
I didn't hear you.
That sounds like the one.
Well, yeah. That's been the one, yeah, I'm pretty sure. For the children, I don't know, they had some children, I don't know how many children. They had one boy, and I don't know where he's down in that part or not. And then that Brandy's other one of the brothers, Russell, he used to be down there. Well, I think he passed away. He was down there with one of them when he passed away. He'd married Jesse Wygy and they'd separated. Uh-huh. And I think he was down there.
Wygy. Is there a holler named Wygy down there somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Wygy Holler?
Oh, well, yeah, over on the Missouri over
yeah.
there.
Wygy
yeah,
Holler.
Yeah.
What I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might have dreamt this, but I was thinking that you told me this. Didn't you help build the railroad coming up around through Steep Gut?
Yes, sir.
And up around through there, all
yes,
that?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
All that was done by hand, wheel bars.
I started to work on that railroad in the bottoms down there where Oak Mollison go over across from his store for come, you know, where it left down there and come over there and come up through on the other side?
Yeah.
I started working down there and worked clear up with it, up Scald with
it. Well, which way did that railroad come in?
Huh?
Which way did the railroad come in?
Did it come up Birch?
Did it come up Birch?
Oh yeah, it come up Birch. It started off down there right below Scald's, below Mollison's store there where it was, and crossed down that creek and come right up the creek and come up there right in front of where Hoover lives up there. It was across mm-hmm. the creek when it come up past Whalen's up there. Mm-hmm.
What year was that? What year was the railroad built?
Yeah, I guess I was about 16 years old when I was doing all of that. I know me and Maston Fowler, we done, after we come up past the Steep Gut Hollow, they had to drill all that down there on top of them big rocks. After we got up above there, me and him done the drilling on up through there, past home and all that.
What'd you drill it with?
I drilled her by hand.
With the star drill?
Yeah.
That's a lot of rock.
That's what they done, all that. The big rock down there in front of McCoy, you know they shot that whole thing off. Mm-hmm. You ever know that?
Yeah.
They shot that. That is all drilled by hand. No, I didn't help do none of that. Up on top of it. But after we passed there, they come on up there next to where George lived across there. And then me and Maston, we done all the drilling from there on up through clear up to, well, I reckon all that they done up there now after this went up Bragg here, Barnett Run there. See, they put the railroad at Barnett Run there a piece, up to where Estill lives.
Yeah, I know where the old grade is.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't work on that part.
Well, now, right there, wasn't it? Right there at the mouth of Barnett Run from there up to Boggs, where Boggs is now, up at Doc's store. Was that a little town or something other right through there?
Oh, the camp there, when Dad had the place there, the log camp and the shanty cars was mostly on his place over there.
That's what I thought. I seen pictures.
Yeah, right across in front of where between you and Bill across there, Johnny Roach and Kurt Brown lived there. And then on up there right where across in front of your place there, the old barn was right across in front of your place.
Yeah, I know where the old
barn. And the camp was right there, right out on up through that bottom. They must have been, I don't know, they must have been 8 or 10 or 12 families lived in there then, when the camp was in there.
Well, didn't they have a shooting at that store?
Oh, that is the Boggs store, yeah.
Well, the Boggs store is where about where the church house is now, isn't it?
No, the Boggs store was right where it is now.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's where they claim Laddie run between the feller's legs.
Who's that, Lanny Fowler?
Lanny Fowler, that's Bond's dad.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Grandfather.
He was in the store when they started the shooting it. You've heard of the Flemingses, haven't you? And they was the ones that come in there, and they was they'd been in here several days. Well, they'd been to the store before, and they went over on Beaver somewhere's over there, And this sheriff and I think there were two with him maybe. And they heard they was in this part, and they'd followed. I think they'd come from down in Kentucky or somewhere. And they'd come to the store there. They'd come from over there to the store, and they ran onto him there in the store. And then that started the shooting right in the store there. Yeah, man, he'd tell you about it.
Why not?
One of the fellows that they killed buried there in the Bogue Cemetery. Mm-hmm. This Al Flemings over here, which used to be over here, he was in the bunch.
And I used to work with a guy from down Camden that was part of that bunch. He lived in Camden.
Well, you see, Al lived down there, and he was one of the... I don't know. Well, I guess it must be Al, that boy. You see, he took Charlie Gibbons, his wife, Al did. He took her from down there. He come down there on a horseback and took her away down there. I was just a boy then. And he had a boy, and he used to live up on the hill over here going down to Camden Hill. The boy did.
All right. I want you to tell me a story. I don't know whether the jury's heard this or not, but I've heard this several times. But I like to hear it because I got scared one night when I was a kid walking out of there when I was a courting Lynn there at Rexville Hollingsworth. What is that story about that place right there?
No, that they claimed that place was haunted.
Yes, sir. I heard something, buddy, for a long ways out there one night.
By George, I heard something.
I told him about it. He got to tell me this.
Me and John Holmes, me and him went a possum hunting one night. We went over and went up Beaver and come across the hill and was coming back down. And we come down into that bottom right there above where Rexville is now. And the dog just went out again the bank there below the road. Hold a possum. So me and John went out, and John said we'd dig it out. And so we started digging at the doggone thing, and after a while, just the noise started, just like it was coming right up the river. Just sounded exactly like a mowing machine running. And it went right on over us and seemed like it went right into the mouth of Tulik. Of course, John said he didn't get scared, but he said we both stood there and looked at one another, and just in a little bit it started again, and it just went the same circle. And then that's the last time we ever heard it. And we never could figure out what that was. But I know we didn't either one talk for a while. He was scared just as bad as I was.
Well, I got scared coming through there, buddy, after something. Yeah. Yes, sirree. I'll never forget Hazel Fowler picked me up.
You take that little Ed Jones. He had more nerve than anybody in the country, I reckon. Down there below where that boy of Rexville, that Lord
Harold
is.
Yeah.
He was going down through that bottom there one time, and they come to a little old fence down there. And he said something come up there. He said it had horns. He didn't know what it was or
had horns.
Yeah. He said it just looked like he described it like it looked like the devil or something. And he had a cane, and he claimed that he hit it and the fire just flew.
I'll be doggone.
Then Uncle John Roberts there where Glenn lived. I've heard him tell that many times. He would come across, he was going to mail one day, lived on Poplar over there, he was riding the horse, and the road went across there, and where it went down, you know, you come up there in front of Glenn's, and went down into the creek and crossed, and went up around the side, and he was coming through there, and he said he heard a wagon coming, and he said that he rode on. He said directly the horse scared and got to cut and shine with him. And he said, damn it, did you never see a wagon? And he said that thing just, noise just disappeared. He didn't know where it ever went or anything. Now, boys, Uncle John seen something. I don't know what it was, but he had never told it. I don't believe he hadn't seen something.
Well, now, who was that seen that?
That was little Ed Jones.
I mean, who was it seen that rock bluff right there in front of Harold's house?
No, right below, right above Rhoda Boss there.
Yeah, I mean, that one was supposed to be dead.
That was Dick and what happened Tommy there? Bragg, her son.
What happened there?
Well, I think she hadn't been dead too long. And I don't know who'd got sick, Tommy or some of the family down there. And they got Dick had an old Ford car, and they got him to go after the doctor. And they was coming up, and as they come up, why, let's see now. I just don't remember it was coming up and going back. Anyhow, Tommy seen it. As he went both ways, and as he went the other way, why, Dick saw it, and he asked Tommy, and Tommy told him he'd saw it as he come up, or either as he come down. I don't know which way that's going, how it was. And so Dick described her. She was buried in black socks and everything. She said she just come down over that rock cliff there, across the road, and Dick described her. They said to the stuff.
He'd never seen her.
Huh?
He hadn't seen her.
No, he had never seen her. He had never seen her when she passed away or anything. But he told them everything what she had on the outside since she was buried and everything. And they knowed they seen something. Yeah, Tommy, when he saw it, whichever way it was going up or coming down, it must have been a going up. And he'd never mentioned that to Dick till Dick had saw it and mentioned it to him, and he said he'd saw it and was going the other way, which way they was going. Yes, sir. Dick described
it. I've heard some pretty weird tales about that place down there. Well, now, Alma June was telling me about this. Here about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, the boys was playing down there in the field below the house, and there's a real bright light. I don't know whether Lynn and them told you about it or not. Coming up out of the cemetery, over in front of Bill's. Just shine right straight up. Well, and I knew he wasn't lying. Boy, Keith come up to the house and told me you can come down here. There's somebody over the graveyard, but they're not moving. And so I told him, okay, I'll be down in a little bit, you know. And by the time I got down there, they was all scared, but the two oldest ones, you know, that was Dole Barnett's boys. And I had a light with me. And I give it to one of them, I don't know which one I gave it to. And when I got there, you could faintly see it, I think, you know. But they said it was real bright. And Keith Keith that gave the light to, threw the light over there toward the cemetery, and the light was gone like that. Did you ever hear any story about that light over there at that cemetery?
Well, I heard our mother, she said that one time when they lived down there, but she said that was a reflection from the house there that put the light up. She saw a light up there, or thought it was a light.
Well, see, the house was gone and the light was there.
Mother, she wasn't afraid. She'd find out what anything was worth, and she found out that it was a reflection there from the house some way when the house was there that made that light up there. And then one other time while they heard a racket there at Tuckabaw Rochmar, while to figure out, they thought it was a road wagon or something, and Mother figured it out at last. There was a little old lumber pile out there in front of the house of land there, right above where them pine trees was, cut the top out for Bill. And Dad had some calves, and the calves was running over that lumber pile. Mother found out what it was. asked her, she wasn't much afraid.
Did you ever hear some stories about a...
Now that old house down there we lived in there, they claimed it was haunted, but mothers they upstairs they put a flu in up there, and they claimed smoke up there and this and that, and I don't know what all they told. You know that old fellow that had lived there, he had went and some fellow that got after chasing one of his girls, I think, and got in trouble, and he had left there, and that old feller, oh, if I can think of his name, I know it just well of mine now, and he followed him up Birch to where that feller has a shop up there.
A.J. Falls?
No. Well, right there, just above the falls, between falls, and one does the welding there.
Russell's.
Mm-hmm. And this feller, he followed him up to there, and he was there. There was a house there then. And I don't know who was living in the house that was there. And he followed him up there with a gun, and he killed him there. They said he told her, the fellow come out of the house when he asked him out of the house. And there was a spring there or something, and so he killed him there. He's buried right across the creek there, just between that house and where the little beard yard is on the bank over there. There's two buried over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of them that fellow killed. And they claimed that house down home there was haunted always after that. There's where he lived when he done that.
I've heard some pretty cool. Everybody live. I've heard some things down there. Lynn has. You just don't pay no attention to them. When you logged up Williams at Middle Fork, where I found your old camp the other day, the town was there then, wasn't it?
Up to 3-4?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they was big town. That big company store, they had a big meat house up there. Cut meat and everything up there then. They had, it's a nice sized town.
Well, where did they get their water from? For the town? Like, I guess they had to have city water, because I found a big water system up there the other day.
Oh yeah, they'd have to have water now. When they was on Goldie up there, they got it up there in that little holler comes in right above where Jerry'sville was.
Yeah, water tank holler.
Yeah, the water tank holler there. They got it there. And now, you know, I don't know just up Williams. I'd never paid that much attention to it. Where they got the water? They're bound to get it out of some of them hollers.
Well,
I figure it might have come out of that.
Me and Lynn found a cement water.
Where was that?
And a 2-inch steel pipe stood in it, coming out of it. It was about 3/4 mile up Middle Fork, you know. And that first little holler on the left-hand side going up, it's below Little Beachy.
Mm-hmm.
It's right below that, and it's about 20 foot from the road. It's, you know, laid up the cement, and there's a 2-inch water line coming out of it, steel pipe. And it heads right down the river. Of course, some of it was covered up, and some of it wasn't. After I got to looking for it, I found it.
Well, yeah, they even had places up there to water for the trains. They had night hostler, they called them. Look after the trains up there. And he'd, when they'd come in of an evening, why, he'd take over then, and he would go ahead and coal the trains up. They had coal, had to fix that till they could run, had those coal cars run right up and up onto a thing there where they could load the engine or fill the engine with coal, you know, and they had to water place there to water them.
Oh, I can't get that thing, huh?
I think, oh, go ahead. I think Jerry's done got it on tape. He might want to hear your version of it, of the story about the jam you told me the other day.
Yeah. Hold on 1 minute, I'll flip this thing over.